Amen. He's the one. He's the one. I don't worry about anything as long as I got him to lean on. I know that Hopewell has been busy, mighty busy this week. I thought about that. I say many of those are tied up. And Pastor Davidson, I want to thank you for tying them up. They need to be tied up. And I apologize for my change of venue. Pastor Davidson thought I was going to preach from the pulpit, but God told me to preach from the floor.
Amen.
Always do what he says to do.
Amen.
Please stand and recite. This is the word of God. It'll be on the screen. This is the word of God. It is good for the nourishment of my body. It is good for the directing of my living. I am what it says I am. I can be all that it says I can be. I can do all that it says I can do. Lord, please feed me. Amen. God is going to feed us. Today, remain standing, because you all standing for a long time. I normally don't pick but two scriptures, but today God led me to only 7 through the 18, 2 Corinthians 4 chapter, 7 through the 18. I'm going to read the entire thing. And you're going to soak it up. 2 Corinthians 4 chapter 7 verse, King James Version. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We're having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up all us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all the things that are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's a lot of scripture.
Amen.
And I'm going to talk about each one. Briefing. our time, our subject today is how to keep going when you feel you can't go on. How to keep going when you feel you can't go on. There are times in our lives when we must keep going even though we feel like we can't. Have you ever said, I just don't know how much more of this I can take? Amen. Or I don't know how much longer I can keep on doing this? Have you ever said that? Sometimes when we make those statements, it may be in reference to a job or a marriage or perhaps even concerning something at church. It may be said during the times of trouble or times of sickness. But regardless of our situation, we are certainly, all certainly feel like there are times when we just can't go on. We feel like we can't go on. We feel like we need to stop and turn around and go back. I think sometimes we are misled into believing that the people of the Bible were superhuman. So superheroes, the Bible people in some way. Yet a closer look at the Word of God will reveal to you that they were indeed human and that they were experiencing much of the same things in life as we do. Amen. I studied the Bible from front to back. I studied commentaries on my life. I found out that they are faced with the same kind of problem in the Bible that we're faced with. And we just can't give up. Paul is one of those people, my favorite writer. He knew a little bit about how to keep going when you feel like you can't go on. Notice what Paul says in our text. He says in the verse 8, he said, he was crowded but not crushed. He was crowded but not crushed. Now, let's see what verse 8 said. He said, trouble on every side, yet not distress. Have you been there? Amen. Trouble on every side, but not in distress. The word trouble means to crowd. Paul experienced trouble and trials to the point where he felt like everything was closing on him. He would refer to this condition today as being stressed out. Amen. We get stressed out. Yet Paul said, though I am crowded, I'm not crushed. That's right. We often say that we are too blessed to be stressed. We say that all the time. Amen. But we are human. And even as hard as we might try, we still find ourselves stressed all the time. Has anybody other than me ever been stressed? Amen. Then you ought to stop saying, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I know that. I know it's a good saying. It sounds good, but it's not true. You're never too blessed to be stressed. Paul said he was not crushed, but he was stressed. He was stressed out. Now, in the verse 8, he said, we are perplexed, but not in despair. That's right. He was doubting, but not despairing. The word perplexed means to have no way out. There were times in his life, when Paul's life, when he literally felt at a loss. Yet Paul said, I'm not in despair. Now, this statement is definitely a play on words. Literally, Paul is saying, there are times when I feel at a loss, but not totally at a loss. I've been there. I feel like I'm at a loss, but not totally at a loss. He was filled with doubt about what was going to happen. He may have been full of questions, but he refused to be in despair. He refused to be downtrodden. He refused to be defeated, and he refused to be despondent. Now, if you approach life that way, you refuse to be despondent, you refuse to be defeated, you refuse to be in despair. That's the way it ought to be. Now, in verse 9, he also said, persecuted but not forsaken. He was followed but not forsaken. The word persecuted means to be pursued or followed. The word forsaken means to be deserted or left behind. Everywhere that Paul went, it seemed that trouble followed behind him.
That's right.
Everywhere he went, because he was doing something good for God.
Amen.
Every time, on every step he took, it was trouble behind him.
Amen.
Too much trouble. The word persecuted means to be pursued or followed. The word forsaken means to be deserted or left behind. Everywhere Paul went, it seemed that trouble was close by. Anybody been there and done that? He was threatened, imprisoned, and forced and faced death on several occasions. Yet he said, "I'm not forsaken." He was ditched, but not destroyed. Verse 9 says he was cast down, but not destroyed. And verse 9 says, cast down, but not destroyed. I heard somebody preach from this text one. He said that Paul was knocked down, but not knocked out.
Amen.
And I believe that in life, you can get knocked down, but not get knocked out.
That's right.
That's what Muhammad Ali said. You can knock me down, but you can't knock me out.
That's right.
He had been cast down, knocked off his feet, but he had not been destroyed as a result of his trouble. The question we all have and want to have answered today is, how did Paul maintain this kind of attitude in spite of his aversion? How can we keep going when we feel like we can't go on? How can we do that? Turn to somebody and say, how can I do that? How can I do that? Well, here's the answer. I'm glad you asked. Faith will keep us going when we can't go on. When you feel like you can't go on, your faith will keep going. Verse 13 says, we're having the same spirit. Now, I want you to listen to this. We're having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. I want you to look at that as a tongue, Thai tongue. And it means a lot. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. James, and the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus, in the first chapter of James, and the sixth and the seventh verse. Now listen to this very carefully, because it'll shock somebody. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavering is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from God. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, what he's saying is, you need to ask in faith. You need to ask and believe. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. You can't go, James says, you can't go with your mind to God. Yeah, me saying it is, and you. Some people don't like to hear me say that. You name it and you claim. You name it and you claim. That's what God is. God has said, "Come to me and ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened." That's what God said. He said that. And so you'll use your faith. Use your faith to get around what you're doing and what you're going through. Nobody likes to hear that. Nobody likes to hear that. You can believe and receive, or doubt and do without. Now, tell somebody, say, you can believe and receive, or you can doubt and do without. That's a powerful thing in my world. In my world, I believe that God needs you to believe and receive. He said, you believe and you receive. Yes, you ask for it and you receive. Facts will keep us going when we feel like we can't go on. The facts of life. In the 14th verse, said, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us all also by Jesus, and shall present with us present us with you. That's what he said. We know that after death is gone, Jesus is going to raise up. But that same resurrection, that same power, is now here, not right now. He can raise you up. Is able to lift you up now. Amen. Not tomorrow, but able to lift you out of your problem right now. Above your sorrow, above your sin, above yourself, above your problem, above your situation. Yes, you can knock me down, but I'll rise again. Amen. I will rise again. Because Jesus is the one that died for me. He will rise again. Focus will keep us going when we feel like we can't go on. Focus will keep us going when we feel like we can't go on. For verse 16 says, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We must make certain of where our focus is. If our focus is not correct, then we will have trouble pressing on. A decade or so ago, Quote magazine carried a story about one man's amazing focus. About one man's amazing focus. The nations of the world had come together for the Olympic Games. Athletes from around the world had trained for years to compete in the game. And finally, the time had arrived. The marathon, while not always exciting to watch, is the most severe Olympic test of human endurance. The marathon. The runners must run for 25 miles. That's about the distance from here to Bay Street in Huntsville. From here. The women will know something about that. This takes about 4 to 5 hours to run. Many of us train excessively to compete. The race began, and eventually the winner came running back into the Olympic setting. He was welcomed by cheers from the fans in the stadium. Soon, other runners arrived as well. And eventually, the race was over. Over, that is, except for one runner. A single runner was still on the course. Other track events continued in the stadium. And an hour passed. Then 2 hours passed. Finally, the final runner and an athlete from Tanzania, Africa, entered the stadium. His pace was slow. His step was wobbly. His knee was bloody from falling over and over again during the race. He looked terrible, but as he entered the stadium, the fans realized who he was and what he was doing, and they stood up and they cheered for him. As he made his way around the track and finally across the finish line, the cheers got louder and louder as the fans saluted the man's determination. Later after the race, the runner was asked why, even though he had lost the race by several hours, he had continued running. His answer was simply, "My country didn't send me 7,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 7,000 miles to finish it." That's a big thing in your life. You need to take that one now. Jesus didn't die for you to start the race. He started die for you to finish the race. That's what he don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. I want all of you to remember that this race was not given to the swift, nor the strong, but to the one who holds out to the end. We as believers must keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. He hasn't saved us to quit. He didn't die on the cross for us to give up. We can keep going when we feel like we can't go on. If we stay focused upon the Lord, Jesus, and on the prize before us. And finally, verse 17 says, "For our light affliction," now listen to this, "our light affliction," Paul said, "which is but for a moment, working for us a small, far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Our trials here are just temporary. There, our tithes and our tears are just temporary. That's all there. They are temporary. They are temporary. They are light in comparison to the internal weight of glory, which is not yet seen. Your tears are just temporary relief. Your tears are just temporary relief. Your tears are just a release of the pain, sorrow, and grief. Your tears are expression that can't be controlled. A little crying out is all right. But after a while, you won't have to cry no more. You won't have to cry no more. You know you were, God's going to wipe away all your tears. Right. After a while. Right. I won't have to cry no more. I won't have to cry no more. I won't have to suffer no more. I won't have to walk with a walker no more. After a while, it'll be all be up. I won't have to cry no more. When I reach the other shore, you promised me joy and peace. Oh, what a blessing, sweet relief, when I get over there. He's going to wipe all my tears away. You hear me? Sometimes I feel like I can't go on, but I know that one day he'll wipe all my tears away. When weeping may endure for a night, but joy, come in the morning. It will come in the morning. My tears won't flow no more. My pain won't have no pain no more. It will wipe away all my tears. when all of God's children get together. What a time. What a time. What a time. What a time. We'll praise him in the morning. We'll praise him in the evening. We'll praise him in the noonday. What a time. 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 I'm looking forward to it. Oh, well. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. One of these days, one of these days, one of these old days, I won't have to cry no more. 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 What a time, what a time, what a time, what a time, what a time. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm going to meet my mother. I'm going to meet my father. I'm going to meet my brother and my sister. I will be there one day and meet the God.